The National Broadcasting Company invites you to Showcase. NBC, in cooperation with the British Broadcasting Corporation, brings you another in its transcribed series of half-hour programs titled Showcase. Each week at this time, you will be entertained with one of Great Britain's top-rated programs. Near the end of our broadcast, we will ask for your critical reaction to today's offering. Today on Showcase, we hear a dramatic story from the 30-Minute Theater, a tale of the supernatural, called Pussycat, Pussycat.
Halliday, there's a Miss Gressler to see you. I've explained this part of the question, but she won't listen.
Is she an appointment?
No, she's just appeared out of the blue.
Tell her I can't possibly see her.
I have, but she refuses to budge.
Surely, Miss Adams, you can get rid of these women by now.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, but she says it's desperately urgent. You must see her.
Is she a broken leg? Is she bleeding to death?
Well, she's rather pale, but that's probably just her colouring. She's very fair, an ash blonde. Sort of slinky little creature with enormous
Miss
green
Adams,
eyes.
Miss Adams, I am not inquiring about her type. I merely want to know whether or not she's in urgent need of medical attention. How did you get my name, anyway?
Well, she won't tell me.
Is she an old patient?
She says not. I certainly don't remember her.
Oh, very well. We'd better see her. We'll see what the trouble is. Ash blondes don't slink our way so often that we can afford to be blasé about them. Send her in.
Yes, Doctor. Miss Gressler, will you come this way, please? Dr. Halliday will see you now. Miss Gressler, sir. Dr. Halliday, oh, please forgive me. I know it is not your custom to see patients in this way.
Sit down, Miss Grantham.
Thank you.
Is it about yourself you want to see me?
Yes. Yes, about myself. Thank you. It is most kind of you. I'm most grateful. Please forgive me.
You're not English?
No. No, I am from Austria.
Mm-hmm.
I shall explain. I have come for a time over here to learn the language and something of your country. I have worked with the family to help with the children.
The address, please?
The address? It is necessary to
yes.
have... Oh, well, the name of the people is Hammond. They live at number 9...
Hammond.
Number 9 Redwood's Gardens.
Redwood...
Earl's Court.
Your full name?
Honey Gretler. H-A-N-I... G-R-E-T-L-E-R.
Your age, Miss Gretler?
22 years.
Mm-hmm. Who gave you my name?
Oh, no one... Oh, I must be frank, no one. But now that I see you, I am more certain even than before that you are the man.
Oh, what man?
It is so hard to explain.
Nevertheless, I suggest you make the attempt.
Yes. In my mind, there is very clearly the picture of a street. A street with houses only on one side. On the other side is a park, very large and very beautiful. This street, Dr. Halliday.
Well...
About halfway down the street is a house painted white with door and windows of dark blue. On the first floor and on the ground floor are window boxes filled with crimson red tulips. This house. I have been searching for it for days and days. I have been nearly frantic. Then I remembered that I had come here from a main road with buses. I remember suddenly the number of a bus, 30.
Mm-hmm.
So today I travel on this bus and at last here is the park. Here the street, and here the house. Oh, the relief. I can't tell you the relief.
But I understood you hadn't been here before.
Oh, I have not exactly been here. Not in real life.
Not in what?
It was in a dream.
Oh.
Yes, now you think here is a mad woman.
Allow me to make my own diagnosis, Miss Gretler. Tell me about this dream.
I have dreamed it now for a week. Every night and always the same. It is terrifying. I am walking by myself down the street. I come to your house. I think, oh, but how attractive. I make to cross the road, but there is a car coming, so I wait. This car I see very distinctly. It is long and black with no hood, a sports car. Driving there is a young man. He has a round pink face, a little check cap, and a yellow scarf round his neck. He is driving very much too fast.
I'm sure he is.
Then I see that the indicator of his car is standing out. He's going to turn the corner before he reaches me. I cross the road, but he doesn't turn. I hear the blast of his horn, a strange horn with different notes like music. There is a scream of break. Someone shouts. I feel no pain, only a terrible blow, as if I had fallen from a great height. For a moment there is silence. Then a man cries, there is a doctor in the house with the tulips. But at this moment your door opens and a young woman comes out. She wears a white overall and underneath it is showing a green dress. She calls out, the doctor has gone away on his holiday, but she will telephone for an ambulance.
Well done, Miss Adams.
But it does not come. Your secretary brings a rug and puts it over me, and under my head a little pillow covered with green plastic. Here, look, on the couch, there's a little one.
Sit down, Miss Gretler, don't excite yourself.
At last the ambulance comes. I hear your secretary say very angry to the driver. The accident happened at 2 o'clock. It is now 20 past. He explains they were caught in a block of traffic. After that, I am going on a stretcher through some swing doors. Over them is written, the Regency Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a place?
Yes, indeed. I'm on the staff there.
You see, only a dream, but the places are real. But now everything is confused. I know only that I have an operation, and I'm in bed, and people around me, doctor and nurses.
I hope the operation was successful.
No, it is not successful. Very soon over my face, the doctor draws a sheet. He says, it was hopeless, loss of blood and shock. I was dead. Don't you understand? I was dead.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But I'm afraid the interpretation of dreams is rather outside my scope. I'm a heart specialist. Who is your doctor?
Oh, it is no use to go to him. He cannot help me.
It's his job to help you, Miss Gretler.
No, Dr. Halliday, you haven't understood. I don't ask for an explanation of the dream or why I have it. I know the meaning of this dream. Wait, I tell you how I know. In the hall of the hospital was a big calendar. Do you know it, Dr. Halliday?
Yes, I hung it there.
It said the 10th of May. But look at this one on your desk.
Mm-hmm.
It says the 8th of May.
Oh, I see. You think all this is going to happen in 2 days' time.
I know.
Hmm. Then on that particular day, why not avoid this street? Why not stay in bed?
Some things are meant to be. But in the dream, you remember, I'm lying in the road without treatment for 20 minutes. That is the reason I died. I'm sure of it.
Very likely.
I died because you were on your holiday. But if you were here, I would be saved. I know. I have a most strong feeling about it. I am convinced.
There's nothing I can do about that.
I want you to come back from wherever you are for just that time, 2 o'clock.
Come back? I shall be in Holland, Miss Gretler.
Holland? Oh. Doesn't this prove that the dream is true? You are going away.
It's purely coincidence.
Coincidence?
I always go away at this time.
I was not to know. How could I know? When do you go? What day?
The 10th, by the 3 o'clock plane.
Oh, no. No, please. You can get a later plane. To lose a plane is nothing. To lose a life. Oh, please, you must.
Oh, very well. All right. But in the meantime, I want you to see your own doctor. And see him today, without fail. What's his name?
Oh, he's a doctor of the Hammonds. Wilson. Dr. George Wilson.
Where does he live?
53 St. George's Street, SW5. Oh, you are so good, Dr. Halliday. I don't know what to say. Thank you so much.
But before you go, Miss Gretler, may I, as a point of medical interest, take your pulse?
If you wish.
Thank you.
2 o'clock. How strange it should be, 2 o'clock. It is steady, my pulse?
As a rock.
That's unusual.
In the circumstances, very.
You have calmed me. I trust you so much. Oh, don't bother to see me out. I can find a way. Goodbye, Dr. Halliday. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Gretler. Hello, Miss Adams. Still here? Nearly 8 o'clock.
Just finished. I fixed your plane ticket for the 10th and ordered you a taxi for 1:30.
Thank you. Did Dr. Wilson ring up?
Wilson?
Miss Gretler's man.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, try and get him, will you, before you go? Then put him through on this phone.
Have you got his telephone number?
It's here somewhere. Yes, here it is.
Oh, thank you.
The last thing I want is to have to fight my way to the airport through a barricade of ash blondes.
Hello? Is Dr. Wilson there, please? Oh, thank you. I have a call for you. Dr. Wilson's on the phone now, sir.
Oh, thank you. Dr. Wilson, Malcolm Halliday here. One of your patients came to see me this afternoon, and I referred her back to you. Has she been in yet? An Austrian girl, Honey Gretler. Honey Gretler. Never heard of her? Hmm. She lives with some people called Hammond, who she claims are also patients of yours. They're not. Uh-huh. No, it doesn't matter. Sorry to trouble you. Thanks very much. Goodbye. Yes, I thought she was a liar. If that dream isn't the invention of a fertile Good heavens. Madam?
Yes?
Did you see that car?
What car?
That one that just passed with that extraordinary horn.
No. Or should I have?
I only wondered if you noticed what it looked like.
Why? Oh, the horn. The dream. But, you know, I've heard that horn before, sort of subconsciously, without exactly registering it.
Yes, and so have I. I don't want to alarm you, Miss Adams, but I'm having a little presentiment of my own. A presentiment that we are not finished with Miss Honey Gretler.
I'm afraid your presentiments come true, Doctor. Miss Gretler's here. Ah. What shall I...
Send her in. I want to see this young woman.
Very well. Will you come this way, please, Miss Gretler? You lied to me yesterday. You are going on that plane tomorrow.
You lied to me.
Only about the doctor.
Who is your doctor?
I haven't one. It is you. I need you.
I shan't be available.
How can I make you believe me? All I ask is that you delay your journey for a few hours.
Oh.
1 hour.
There's no need to cry about it.
There is need. There is need for me. It is I who will die, not you. Not you or the young man in his fine black car with his beautiful motor horn.
It won't help to upset yourself. Sit down. Come along.
Thank you. 2 o'clock. Again, it is 2. When it strikes again in the daylight, I shall be dying.
Very well, Miss Gretler, I'll stay. I don't say I believe your story, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll stay.
Thank you. Oh, is this your cat?
Yes.
Hello, Pussy.
Don't pick her up, Miss Gretler. She'll scratch you. She doesn't like strangers.
Oh, she will not scratch me. Oh, really? She's purring.
Well, I'm blessed. I've never known her do that before.
Do you know that the spirits of the dead return in the bodies of cats?
I've heard of it as a superstition.
Superstition? You think it's that? I will tell you something, Dr. Halliday. At home, I live in a little village in the mountains. In the river there, my great-grandmother was drowned by the people because they said she was a witch. The very instant that she died, there appeared from nowhere, on the bank of the river, a white cat. And from that day to this, it is still alive. From time to time, there appear others. They are quite wild and do terrible damage. But nothing will kill them. Nothing. Now no one dares to touch them anymore.
Mm. Cats have the knack of multiplying.
Among the white cats of my village, Dr. Halliday, there has never once been seen a kitten, because they are all female. They are called the White Witches of Geyser.
Well, I won't argue the point.
Now no one dares to touch them anymore.
Do you feel better now?
Yes, quite, thank you. I must go. Oh, don't trouble to come to the door. You know I can find the way. You are going to stay and help me, aren't you?
Yes, I'll stay. Don't worry.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Adams. Goodbye, Miss Gretler. From her expression, I judge she got round you.
Oh, well, Miss Adams, her great-grandma is a cat.
Oh, I see. That explains everything.
Meow.
She would seem to have made an impression.
She would, Miss Adams. She would indeed. I'm quite fascinated to know what she'll think up next.
Now, you're not going to miss your plane, are you?
Not if I can help it. I thought I'd go and see the Hammonds.
Yes?
Oh, good afternoon. Is this the Hammonds' house?
Yes, but Mummy's out. She's shopping. She won't be long.
Is your father in?
No, not till this evening.
Oh, dear. I wonder if I might wait. I very much want to see your parents about Miss Honey Gretler.
Honey? Honey, did you say?
Yes. She's been to see me once or twice during the last 2 days, and I very much... Hey! Well, what on earth's the matter now?
Why should he behave like that?
I don't know. I can't imagine. He was plainly terrified.
They've had trouble with her before. That's what it is. He probably thought you were the police. Why don't they send her home? There's something about her I don't like at all. Something sly and nasty. She's up to some game.
Yes, there's not much doubt about that. You better try to get me onto a later plane, will you?
Oh, no.
She's planning something for 2 o'clock tomorrow, and I must know what it is. Don't ask me why. I don't know myself. I just must.
Good morning, Miss Adams.
Oh, you did give me a fright. How did you get in?
I let myself in. To save you the work.
I didn't hear the door.
I moved very softly.
Miss Gretler, just precisely what are you up to?
Do you always address the doctor's patients in this way?
I don't count you as a patient. I count you as the type of girl I address in exactly this way. Always.
A type, you say?
It's not unusual for doctors, particularly when they're good-looking bachelors like Dr. Halliday, to be pestered by neurotic exhibitionists.
You're jealous, aren't you? Am I treading on your sacred ground, Miss Secretary? Perhaps you don't go about him in the right way. Men are so easy, Miss Adams, if you know how.
They're not so easy, Miss Gretler, that you can afford to make the sort of mistake you've made.
Mistake?
I suddenly remembered last night something you said about your dream. You said I was wearing a green dress. I haven't a green dress. I never wear green.
Maybe. But the girl in the dream was still wearing a green dress. For a good reason, Miss Adams, that she was not you. She was completely different, a big, fat girl with red hair. I don't know who she is, but she is not you.
Dr. Halliday is hardly likely to get a new secretary between now and 2 o'clock this afternoon, even to please you.
We shall see. Now, will you go and tell him I'm here?
Well, I can't promise he'll see you. She's here, Dr. Halliday.
Who?
Dream girl.
Toss her in, Miss Adams.
Miss Gretler, come along.
Oh, Miss Adams.
I'll be gracious when you say toss her out.
Hello, Doctor.
I shall be in the hall, sir, if you need me.
Miss Gretler, I called on the Hammonds yesterday. The door was opened by a small boy. As soon as I mentioned your name, he slammed it again. Why?
Oh, well, that was you. Oh, David, he's a very nervous boy. Come, Dr. Halliday, you must not worry about me. Wait until 2 o'clock and you will understand. It is not very long now. Just wait.
You're a very persuasive young woman.
Am I? That young man in the black car. I wonder if he has had a dream, too. Does he know what we know? I wonder.
If he does, he may have the sense to travel on foot.
Sense? Men like him have no sense. They can't even speak the truth. After the accident, I could hear his voice crying over and over again. It was her own fault. She ran in front of the car. I couldn't help it. She ran in front of the car. Oh, it's a lie, Dr. Halliday. It was his fault. He should be the one to pay, not I. It is he who should be killed, not
I. You're not going to be killed, Miss Gretler. Don't work yourself up.
No, no, of course not. I forget myself. I shall go now. I just wanted to see you again. You so reassure me. Hmm? We shall meet at 2 o'clock. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf, what? Goodbye. Well, I'm blessed.
That was quick.
She's mad.
You know, I think you should tell the police.
Huh? It's no crime to dream.
Dream? That girl's been hunting you for weeks, I'm sure of it. She's seen you somewhere, been attracted.
Where? And... where would she see
me? Well, I've had an idea. What about the hospital? She's been an inpatient there.
Hmm, it's possible.
Look, you've got to call at the hospital before you go to see your registrar. Why not go down to the records office and check? Why not go now?
Yes, I think I will.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Crocker. I want to trace an old patient. I haven't got her number, but her name's Gretler. G-R-E-T-L-E-R.
I'll have a look, sir. What's her first name, sir?
Honey.
H-A-N-I. G-R-A-D-R-E... Gretler, yes, here we are. Honey Gretler, age 22, single.
That's the one. Must be. When was she in?
Admitted May the 10th, 1952.
May the 10th?
Yes, sir. That's odd. A year ago today. What a coincidence.
Who was she under? Kennedy. Must have been an accident case. Yes. Injured motor accident.
Ah.
So that's it. She's been pestering me now for 3 days, Crocker. And why are you staring?
Well, there must be some mistake, sir, if you say you've seen her recently.
Why should there be?
Well, according to the record, sir, she's dead.
Dead?
Yes, she died on the same day that she came in from shock and hemorrhage. On the same day that she came in, May the 10th.
There's no mistake, Miss Adams. She was knocked down by a car a year ago today at 2 o'clock outside this house. It was all exactly as she described.
But we've seen her, both of us, talk to her. You can't be implying she's a ghost.
No, of course not. She's obviously not Hanny Gretler. She's an imposter. Or you'd have recognized her.
Me? But I wasn't here last May. I was ill. You had that temporary girl. I never saw her. What did she look like? Was she a big, fat girl with red hair?
Yes, why?
And she wore green?
Every shade of it. Why?
Oh, it's Hanny Gretler, all right. That's the girl she described. No one else could know so much. But what is she? What does she want?
My dear Miss Adams, how should I know?
What's the time? 1:30. You've still time to catch that plane. I'll call a taxi. You're all ready.
But you cancelled my seat.
I didn't. No, I didn't. I thought I'd leave it to the last minute.
No, I can't go. I can't possibly go now.
You must go, Doctor. You're not to be here at 2 o'clock. It isn't safe. I don't know what she's up to, but it's you she's after. Now get your things. I'm going to get you a taxi.
All right. If you're going to make a fuss, I'll go.
I'll stay and see what happens. She's got nothing against me. Oh no, shush. Go away. Look out. Shh.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Just a cat. Must have come in after Blackie. Little white cat, that's all.
A white cat?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Is there any coincidence?
Taxi! Taxi!
Yes. Perhaps I won't stay after all.
I wish we hadn't done this. I've got a frightful urge to go back. Just to see if anything does happen.
I don't expect anything will, really.
What's the time? 1:45. We might just do it, yes. Look, I'll drop you off here, Miss Adams, and go back.
If you go, I'm coming too.
Very well, but yes, all right. Driver, turn back, will you? I've forgotten something. Hurry.
Oh, God, we've just done it.
What is it now?
2:02. Never realized that clock had such a loud tick. Must send you mad, doesn't it?
I never notice it. In the ordinary way. Cigarette?
I don't really smoke. Yes, I think I will, please. Thanks.
Only 1 minute to go. I don't believe anything's going to happen. If she was an exhibitionist in life, she'll be an exhibitionist in death. Gosh, she only wants to create a sensation. Listen, the horn. Well, it's not coming down here. That's the crucial moment gone. Phew. Where's the girl?
Girl? It's not a girl, sir. It's a man.
Now, the girl, he's run down.
No, he didn't run no one down. He went into the lamppost.
Huh?
Oh, I seen it. I was standing right here.
Where is he?
Let him through. He's a doctor.
Oh, he's got here. Go on, get out of the way. Let him through. He's a doctor.
The same car, the one she said.
Oh, looked like he'd had it to me. Is he dead, doctor?
Yes. Who is he? Does anyone know?
I don't know who he is, but I've often seen him.
Yeah, he used to come down this way every day.
Yeah.
He was in an accident here before.
What happened this time?
Oh, it was a cat what ran across the road. He swerved and went into the post.
There it is, that white one. It was sitting on your step while washing its face. Suddenly shot right into the road.
Go on, get out of it, you blooming. Go on, get off.
Yeah. Ooh, what's the matter, sir? Is it yours?
No. No, she is not mine. I'll call an ambulance.
You have just heard Pussycat, Pussycat, a story of the supernatural, produced and transcribed for the BBC's 30-Minute Theater by David H. Godfrey. Did you enjoy today's edition of Showcase? Would you like us to broadcast a full series of the 30-Minute Theater? Or would you prefer listening to another one of England's top-rated shows? Let us know, won't you? We're most anxious to receive your comments. Your letters may determine the type of program we will present in a full series after our initial 13-week broadcast of Showcase. Just write to Showcase, NBC, New York 20, New York. Let us know whether or not you would like to hear a full series of the 30-Minute Theater. Next week at this time, Showcase will bring you one of England's most unusual documentations, titled Spiders. You will hear a full account of their courtship, their family cares, their enemies, and their hunt for food. This is Gene Hamilton. We will expect you next Saturday for Showcase.
This is Eddie Cantor, and if I may, I'd like to take a moment here to remind you about my weekly show business show.